The Book of the Words of Reverend Nazir Murray. All Blessings and Respect Due. Part 1. Our Order. Our Teacher. Selfless.
You may have seen long purple-robed monks and nuns walking softly and respectfully across Mother Earth, speaking very little, always carrying a greeting of peace. You may have seen purple-veiled renunciates traveling through city and countryside in purple vans and step vans with bumper stickers carrying the message, "May peace prevail on Earth, the purple people." Perhaps you have experienced entering into establishments where the walls inside and out were graced with the color purple, the air filled with delicate fragrances, shelves filled with books, recordings, and more of a metaphysical, esoteric nature, and all kept diligently clean and in order by purple-veiled attendants. Or maybe you have walked up to purple-draped outdoor tables surrounded by an aromatic vibrance, on which were displayed art crafts made at the monastery, along with an interesting array of incense, oils, and more. And even now, while traveling through the midst of this virtual reality called cyberspace, arriving here at the purple people place in space, and wondering who are the purple people, where are they from, and why in the world, and in truth beyond, do they wear the color purple? The color purple is a color of the highest spiritual vibratory rate. This is the color of the age of enlightenment, the age of universal consciousness, the age which the world is now embarking on. With far-reaching vision, Reverend Nazir Murray, all blessings and respect due, envelops the community in this purple vibration, an aura which is conducive to assists in and embraces the direction, the goal.
The Book of the Words. Reverend Nazir Murray walks in oral tradition. Few precious words have followed ink to paper. To preserve more of the teachings along this latter line of communication, to be of service to those so attuned, though not within ears reach, permission has been granted in recent years to record on tape some of the innumerable lessons given to those in search. The teachings presented in this book have been gathered from three sources. The first source is the rare taped recordings of talks given. The second source is the written declaration of the Nazir, the community, from the Book of the Order. The third source is the resplendent chant prayers to all through Nazir Murray, 1971-80. We pray this offering finds a place in your heart. The support, that's what the service is. To assist, to open up the gap for the energies to come in, to stimulate and agitate different centers, chakras, centers of consciousness or being. Many people say, "What's going on here?" I'm used to this and this, and this is my programming, and this is my conditioning. But I see it's something else going on here. I am attuned to it. I see it. I recognize it. I feel it. Why do I feel that way when I walk this way or go that way? Why do I feel that way when I get over there or go over there? Why do I feel that? Then you begin to question your regular pattern of conditioned programming, and you begin to look and seek for higher energies and vibrations. You seek a place that would be more conducive to your further growing or knowing. When I say growing, I mean knowing, and the knowing and knowledge is within you. But still, it has to be a conducive atmosphere, energy, vibration, and thought plane to help support and raise that within you to a higher level of mental awareness and understanding. We're not trying to clean up the world or anything else. We're just trying to give our little bit. You see, a little share of input in the overall total whole by saying this is our order.
The Anointing. The following excerpts are highlights from the Book of the Order. This is a document set forth and anointed by Reverend Nazir Murray. All blessings and respect due. It concerns the constitution of our order, the spirit life continuity, and the code of conduct of the Nazir. Nazir, a separated, dedicated one, consecrated by vow, abstinence, set apart by choice. Devotion. Nazir signifies what the meaning of consecrated by vow, separated implies. The thoughts are consecrated to truth and to life. They are holy, sanctified, and free from worldliness. They are free from belief in error, destruction, and death. The Nazir is a servant of the divine essence of all, a spiritual pathfinder to the spiritual life of universal law, has great respect for universal law. The Nazir is ever ready to be of service to those who exemplify universal law, as in ancient days they assisted those who upheld universal law. The Nazir form close monastic communities. From these communities, contamination and impurity can be excluded. Here, the utmost simplicity of living and moral discipline can overcome material and fleshly temptations. They prepare places in quiet environments. There they bring like spirits together to carry on the spiritual way of life. They abstain from worldly life. They undertake to separate themselves from unrighteousness. They distinguish between clean and unclean, spiritual and worldly. They love each of the Nazir of the order as themselves. They care for and assist the poor, the needy, and the traveling Nazir. They assist all spiritual seekers who are true to the spiritual way of life. The light of wisdom and knowledge is of the divine creative essence. It is revealed to all creation. Let those who desire this knowledge clear their mind from worldliness, especially pride, which is an abomination to spiritual consciousness. Pride is the gate to the lower consciousness. Let them frequently be in prayer, devotion, meditation, and work. Let them have little to do with the worldly. Let them abstain from too much company keeping. Let them enjoy constant tranquility. Thus the mind may reason more freely in private and be more highly lifted up. For unless the mind is kindled with a beam of spiritual light, it will hardly penetrate the inner mysteries of truth. Collective effort.
These truths of nature and of the spirit are open to all who truly seek. They cannot be obtained by mere acceptance of the word. Works alone the way leads to their unveiling. One must first obtain knowledge of the higher self. One must obey universal law by thought, desire, and act. To seek is to become. Knowledge is wisdom. Wisdom is the result of living. By living, man becomes. Through all times there have been Nazia communities. Some were large, some were small. They gave their whole life to the search for wisdom and understanding. They did this so that man might rise to higher spiritual awareness. Many Nazi are engaged in this most holy work man can do, the redemption of the self. They redeemed themselves from the purely carnal or mortal into the greater spiritual. Succeeding in this, they became able to point out the way to others. Thus all men, in time, may redeem themselves, and as the books promise, become one with their divine essence. Blessings and thanks to our spiritual master, Reverend Nazir Morin. All blessings and respect due. And these are things that have happened to us. We get to a point where we can't trust each other. We can't respect each other. We can't love each other enough to really grow together. Not for the benefit of each other. Not for the benefit of helping each other in all existence. And the reason this community was formed was collective effort. In that collective effort, man, woman, child, community, there must be cooperation. The divine essence of all that is, was, and ever shall be has blessed us to be together. And to make it work, we give thanks and praise for the little bit that is working. We know that anything could turn upside down tomorrow, but this is today. And we give thanks and praise for today. And the most we can do, and the best we can do, is to work diligently and hard.
With you, I want. with you. I talked with you. I knew you. I was of you. You made me free. You made me to be with you. Let my heart sing. Oh, let the words that I sing.
You get what you are. You get what you pay for. What you are is the plane of consciousness you're traveling on. You get according to your experiential need related to your level of consciousness or degree of awareness. The pay is the effort you put into utilizing the information received that is conducive to your higher consciousness expansion and further spiritual development. The profession, whether you put it in a newsletter or on a bulletin board, if you're not living it, you're not telling the truth, or if you're not making an effort to live it, to live your profession, to live what you profess to be. To live what you profess to study, to discipline and put effort toward living, and to make the effort to accomplish the goal. And the problem with a lot of people, places, and things is everybody has their professions. And they say, I'm this, I'm that, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I meditate, I pray, I study, I go to church, or whatever. And they don't live according to the principles. They don't live according to the principles, and when they make a mistake, they try to excuse it. They cover it up. They deny it. They don't look at it and say, true, this is not attuned to the principles. This is not attuned to what the preacher said behind the pulpit yesterday. This is not the message I received during my meditation. This is not the vision I had and wrote down. And this is not what I tried to bring to someone else to help them straighten their life out. It's swept under, ignored, and it gets rather difficult. And Nazir Moray has to be somewhat tyrannical sometimes, scolding, impassionate, and things like that, to try to drive something like that into someone. And we talk about love, and we should give in love and receive in love. You have to go through changes to change. All those little sayings mean something.
Truth. And a lot of times what happens when things come to you, they come to prepare you for it. They come to let you know. And a lot of times you just blot them out. Because you don't want to know, you don't want to know, you don't want to be aware of that. Because sometimes it's too painful. So you don't want to know. I mean, that's with truth or anything else. You start bringing forth truth.
They say ignorance is bliss, so you'd rather live in your blissful ignorance than have some truth dumped on you to make your life harder. Because you want to do what you want to do anyway. And if somebody says, oh, you can do this better. No, no, I want to do it the way I want to do it. This is the way I see it, and that's it. Now don't give me any problems. You see, and that's how truth is on a higher plane. Selfless service. But we know that it's not all happening out there, or what is considered out there. And the approval is not all out there, or the acceptance is not all out there, or the understanding. It's just work to be done. Selfless service. Blessings and thanks. That's going to another level because you have helpers anyway. You have helpers anyway, you're just not totally aware of all of them. All truth, light, and love dwells within you. And that's true. It dwells within all beings. But still you've got helpers traveling on your plane of awareness that have gone further than you. And then you have helpers on all different planes of existence, from the greatest to the least, serving and helping you. Sometimes you're not aware of it. You don't know it. You feel alone sometimes. You feel insecure sometimes. That's a part of your experience. But you're getting help all the time. Because you've reached that degree to receive that assistance, that support, that help, you'll get through. Thank you, sir. Peace bless you, teacher. And there is the title named Nazir Marais. That is the proper title and name within the order. People try to label us because it is easier for them to do that. They can fit us neatly into the scope of what they choose to believe related to their limited awareness and consciousness and never have to change. I am Nazir Marais. I do not call myself a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Jew, a Muslim, or a Rastafarian, or any other religion one might want to categorize me as. I am that I am. What is my religion? All of them. People have a difficult time accepting someone so radically different. I know that. That's the way it should be. Only those who are open and ready to accept that there is more to life than what they are conditioned to believe will want to be near me. And that's the way I prefer it. So when the members say, this is our teacher, you see, and to give Nazir Marais that respect, with all concerned.
Inner wisdom. Dear being to Reverend Nazir Marais, all blessings and respect. Many years, perhaps many lives. David Bernstein, whose law office and practice was located in the same building as. And next door to the Veil of Truth Omniversity, Center for Metaphysical and Esoteric Learning. In New Orleans, related to Reverend Nazir Marais, all blessings and respect. Just that he was expanding his gift as a regressionist, and on one occasion about 8 years ago, before before the time of this writing in 1997 at the Veil of Truth. Aston was given permission by Reverend Nazir Morey ABRD to do a past life regression. The following is a full recitation of the experience which unfolded that day. The Reverend, all blessings and respect, O being aware through observation that David would come into the Veil of Truth Omniversity. Prior to proceeding to important law cases, to attune to the energies, to utilize the energies walking the circumference of the Omniversity, and after attuning would leave to perform his services. David, a beautiful being, gave all the assistance that he could give Nazir Morey ABRD, the order, the service, the effort towards the consciousness expansion, and further spiritual development throughout all existence. A true and devout helper. The bubble is rising to the ceiling, taking you up to the clouds. Count backwards. Drift in the direction where your inner wisdom feels you should go. 7, 6, 5, 5. Now starting to descend. It's coming down. At 1, it will gently land on the cloud. 3, 2, 1. You emerge. Can you tell me if you are indoors or outdoors? I can't tell yet. Things are becoming clearer as I count down. 3, 2, 1. Can you tell if you are in a male or female body? Male, and can you see what you are wearing? No. Are you alone? Yes. How old are you? I couldn't say. Can you tell me what you're doing? I appear to be laying down. And while I'm laying down, my inner self is leaving the physical body. It's going out of it. What's causing you to experience a physical death? I don't see anything other than that. And is it a peaceful experience? Yes, I'm going to give you a moment just to go through this transition and experience it. Let's go back in time now to an experience during the lifetime you were just examining to see if there is anything useful to understand about that life. As I count backwards, we're going to go into another experience during that life. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Are you indoors or outdoors? I seem to be in the same spot. Are you still experiencing the going through the death, the physical death?
Somehow I don't feel as though it's a death. Are you in bed? No. I feel as though I am. Outside and I have risen out of the body, I can see characteristics of what I look like out of the body. And I see a long white beard and long white hair. And you're hovering above the body. I'm standing beside it. What are you feeling as you're standing beside the body? Looking. Just looking around. Just looking around. Seems like I'm trying to decide where I'm going to go from there. Are you surprised to still be alive? No. Do you know what sort of life you led? I'm wearing a long robe, I just see myself standing there. In that appearance, with a long robe on, looking around. I want to pose a question to your inner wisdom, and I will count backwards. What is the significance of this experience? 3, 2, 1. I couldn't say. Let's move on to another life, wherever it would be best to go. And I'll begin to count backwards. When I reach 1, we'll be looking at another episode. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Are you in a male or female body? Male. Are you a young man or old man? Old. Are you alone or with people? Alone. What are you doing? Running. What does the land look like? Forest. Are you running for a reason? I don't know. I don't know the reason. But I seem to be trying to get away from something. Do you know what part of the world you're in? No. It's a rainforest. What do you look like? Long white beard, long white hair. What are you wearing? I get two pictures, a picture of a robe and almost the same figure that I had when I came out of the body. Then I get a picture of a loincloth. Is this the same life that we were just looking at? I couldn't say. What do you do in this life that we were just looking at? I feel as though at the time I was a recluse. However, it seems as though I had some connection with the outer world through students or teaching. And that somehow I had stirred up the anger of, or the resentment of certain people of that time. Could you tell who your adversaries are? No. I just get a lot of pictures going through my mind. Different time periods, different people. What do you teach in this life? Peace. Love, gentle teachings. Are you part of a tradition? Yes. And what tradition would that be? I couldn't say. I could just say that it's very ancient.
since beginningless time.
But I can't categorize it. Or put a label on it. Do. You have a library. I see a cave. What's in the cave? I see vague objects. But it seems as though it's coming from suggestion. Maybe not totally from that period or that time. But things that I have experienced or that I have known from other times. Other experiences. So there may be ritual objects in this life. That you've known from other lives. Yes. What sort of ritual objects are you talking about? I can't say. Can you see who your students are? Were you taught by someone in the life you're examining? I don't see myself being taught. Do you sense that this is an ancient incarnation or something? Within the last 1,000 years, same thing. Let's move on then. To another significant experience, either in this life that you're looking at or another life. You'll begin to drift. As I count backwards to another time, another place. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 3, 2, 1. Are you in a male or female body? Male. And are you inside or outdoors? I feel as though I'm being called to an experience that I've been concerned about for some time. Who's calling you? My inner self. It seems as though it's trying to give me information or more understanding about an experience I went through. And I can't tell whether it's just something that I've been concerned about and that I'm just bringing it into existence for that information. Or if it is actually the true reliving of that experience. Well, let's relax into it and see what it feels like. Become very relaxed and peaceful and clear. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What are you experiencing? are you laying down? Ritual. How old are you in this ritual? Younger man, are you the only one going through the ritual? No. There are others, there are elders, I'm the young one. I'm the only one that's laying down, I could see them. But my eyes are not open, I'm not open eyes. Looking at them. But I see them. And they're dancing. They're not dancing, but like doing dance movements, but floating. They seem to be floating above the ground. And the floors are like a deep, dark marble. And you can see reflections in it. And they're like dancing around the floor in circles. Floating with long flowing robes, garments. And they're making different hand gestures and signs as they dance. I hear sound. Like a sound. But movement. Nothing harsh. It's smooth like a wind sound. A wind. Not a breeze. But a woofing like. Woof. 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 As they move or as they dance. Is this a hard surface? A hard marble surface. You're laying on. Could be a coffin, a box, or a table, a slab. I can't say exactly. And they're circling me. And then they're just dancing all over the room. It's like a temple.
And it's not well lit. It's got a very deep, deep, dark vibration. Still see everyone. I can see reflections on the floor. Like the floor was a mirror. A glass, but a dark reflection. What sort of powers are they invoking? Or prayers they're reciting? Chants? It seemed like a joyous occasion. A love energy. Doesn't seem to be negative at all. It seems to be positive, happy, joyous, but not gaiety. It's serious, but it's somber, serious, but not sad and fearful. What sort of ritual is it? What transformation are you undergoing? It seems like a resurrection. A raising of degree, what you might call an initiation. Are you undergoing this because of a particular reason? Is this what young men go through in your stage of life? No. It's because of a mission. A preparation. Do you recognize what civilization you're in? what tradition you're in. Robes, flowing robes, that as the dance is going, you could see the wind and the air and the robes flowing, swirling. Do you see any colors? It appears to be, which I'm not too sure, that they could be purple or black, or indigo. Are the elders wearing anything on their heads? Yes. What does that look like? Turbans. It appears that they're wrapped in a way that they cover the sides of the faces. It seems as though it's like what I might recall seeing, say in this lifetime, but it's more ancient. Can you tell me something about the period you're living in? No. You live in the temple. I did. But I was getting ready to leave the temple. Why were you leaving? To go on a responsibility? Or a mission? Which I had been prepared for. I see something else happening now. Later on, it's like it jumped from one scene to another. What's the scene like that? You're now observing. I'm in a box like a coffin. And I was presented with a garment as I was supposed to come forth out of the box and choose the garment that I would wear as I went on my mission. And it was like a choice as to which one I would wear. And it was a black garment, a long robe, and a white robe. What's the significance of the black robe? It appears as though it would have been. And it seems like at the time I wasn't too sure. But it was like whether it would be. Whether I would walk in secret. Or whether I would be walking openly. And one of the... there were two initiates there of those that were to offer me the robes of the choice. And one was trying to say, convince me. Or how, I don't know. It seems as though he was more or less pushing this one forward more. The black robe.
I didn't want it. I wanted to choose the white robe. Which one did you choose? The white one. And when I chose it, they smiled. But the other one seemed to be in more authority, and he was almost to the point of asking, or wondering himself, as to why the other one was trying to persuade me. As subtly or whatever way, to take the black robe. But when I chose the white one, it seemed everybody was satisfied. It didn't seem to be anything concerning it. I felt kind of urgent about it because I felt as though a choice was being infringed on me. Or what of you? But I didn't want to accept. Do you know why he was trying to persuade you to choose the black robe? It seemed as though he was testing me for something. Is this choosing of the robes, is this something that was part of the ritual that we were looking at earlier? It seems as though they were interconnected. This was like a part of what had preceded a while after. But there were other things in between that. Did you have to stay in the ritual coffin very long? That appeared to be the time I was getting ready to leave the coffin. But I don't know exactly how much time was in between that period, or how long I had been in it. Well, let's focus on some. Let's look at. I want to present a question to your inner wisdom, which you may want to just meditate on it for a while. The answer may come later. But the question is why? Why is it important to look at this ritual? What significance does it have to you now in this life? I feel that it was a part of the preparation that I had went through in previous experiences to do some of the things that I am to do during this lifetime. And I'm curious, how did the initiates choose you? What were the signs? I could say that it was not like a choice. That they chose me from outside of the order. Or the initiates are a choice. It was just that I was there inside. And it was for me to do rather than, say, being chosen to do it. Perhaps my question was whether they simply knew. Or how did they know that you were one of them? Because it appears, or it seemed to me, that they knew I was one of them because I was. And it's a thing, where is we in? Say in certain lifetimes or certain social, cultural, or education experiences, tend to want to intellectualize things and ask for. I would say outer type credentials in the form of certain intellectual actions or understandings, or even documents or credentials. Did they know before you were born? They knew, let's say, in the inmost of our spiritual energy, that our energies are the same, and through that energy, or that vibration or that feeling, there's a knowing that the mind can't express to someone that is looking for an intellectual understanding of what that feeling or knowing is. Are you still connected with the other initiates in this life? Yes. Going back to the life you're examining, did you live a long life? I couldn't say I feel as though it never ended. That this life is a part of that life. Did you have students in that life? I feel like I did. But I couldn't say definitely, I just have a feeling. Did you have a particular role or function in the temple? When you ask questions like that, it's like my consciousness be shifting, it's shifting into different.
It's shifting into different periods or different times or different lifetimes. I don't know which the situation might be, but it's like going into different functions or different activities or responsibilities. And I couldn't say exactly what it was at that time. Is the tradition that you were in? Does it feel familiar? Like you may have gone through that tradition many lifetimes. The tradition. I look at the tradition all the time as not being a tradition. As far as culture or body or physical tradition. But a tradition of the spirit essence, which I would say is all traditions. And it expresses itself through all traditions. And I find myself more close to that spiritual essence that changes as far as mundane activities are concerned. But on a spirit plane or a spirit reality or essence, it's all one energy. Or if you would care to say one tradition, which I just can't bring myself to put it in one. I understand. The decision you made in that life, does it have ramifications beyond that life? Somehow I find myself running through the forest again. What connection do you make? It seems as though the choice, which is not a choice that would be regretted, but a choice that had to be. And it was the right choice. However, I feel that me or those that know understand that, however, in the world that we're working in, there are those that don't understand or can't accept, who will make it difficult through their lack of understanding, or what appears to be difficult, for you to do what it is you have to do. And that is connected with working in the open a lot. Whereas at certain times it appears to be not conducive to your mental or physical well-being or peace or happiness. And momentarily we might feel disturbed by the non-acceptance of those that do not quite understand what it is you are trying to say or to express or to present. So we feel sad or disturbed periodically, even threatened. But we know beyond the body and the mind, and we continue. Because we know that it's not all happening out there. the approval is not all out there. Or the understanding. It's just work to be done. Selfless service. I feel my body now. Well, if there's nothing further you want to examine or... we'll just come out of the trance gradually. As I count from 1 to 10, you'll return to consciousness and I'm here now.
Sing your song. Oh, we've been gone too long. Oh, let us return to where we belong. You must be strong. Walk on. You must be strong. Oh, we must walk on.